first real chill of mid-autumn this week brought a chill of memory for people in the New York area who experienced Hurricane Sandy and its aftermath.
Hurricane Sandy crashing on shore.
There's a lot of damage along the Milford coastline. Very tough to get around.
The waters to come up from the East River to this level would be devastating.
The entire hospital and our nursing home as well is going to be evacuated.
This is my hood, and I'm staying right here. I want to see what happens.
I'm praying there's not going to be another one. I'm praying I'm not going to be here for the next one.
Gives me a chill to hear that. There are so many ways in which Sandy changed the reality for this city. Today, everybody knows who lives in Zone A, the mandatory evacuation zone. Each neighborhood has a story, is a story. WNYC reporter Jim O'Grady went back to the now unfortunately named Ocean Breeze neighborhood in Staten Island, a place where both the ocean and the wind became a killer a year ago. 13 people died there, the highest death rate, Sandy's cruelest victory over the innocent people in her path. People like 65-year-old Diane Norris and her 89-year-old mom, Ella, who had heard warnings before about big storms, but weren't about to leave their home.
We had left the year before, I think it was for Irene. We had a mandatory evacuation. And when we came back after that, nothing had happened. So that's why we didn't leave this time. Who would think that the ocean would rise that high?
But the ocean did rise. And not even big bear of a man Santo Lisa, Diane Norris's next-door neighbor, could do much to help.
I'm standing on my back deck, and I'm hearing her, please help me. And I'm saying, where are you at? So she showed me a flashlight. I says, you know what? I'm going to get you help. If I can't get there, so I called 911 at least five times. And they kept on telling, we're going to get somebody there. We're going to get somebody. I says, listen, I'm a fireman. I know what's going on here. I says, I cannot get there, no matter what. You need a boat, you need a helicopter or something. This woman's going to die. They never got here.
It is reporter Jim O'Grady who spoke to these people in Ocean Breeze, who gained their trust, and in return he got to see the pain of their memories, of how little they could do in the face of Sandy, isolated, vulnerable, barely surviving, in some cases not surviving.
Nobody could get to them. You know, Sandy brought chaos throughout large parts of New York. So Diane and her mother Ella were trapped in their house. The water was not only rising, it was rushing through the house. They were in the dark. The water was freezing. Diane was holding her mother. But after some hours, her mother said to her, I can't do this anymore. And she died in her daughter's arms. And Diane even said to me that after some time, she couldn't even hold her mother anymore. She had to let her go. And her mother was floating in the room.
What are those memories like now, a year later? What is the sense of the people, the sense of the trauma that they've been through, the sense that you can see the storm, even on a clear day, in their eyes?
You know, it's interesting, John. I talked to these three different people for this story, and they had three different ways of coping with trauma that I saw. Diane seems to be sort of emotionally flat when she talks about it. Santo is a former fireman. He's a burly guy. He worked the job for 30 years. He's used to saving people. But that night he was on his deck hearing a cry for help and he couldn't help.
But it was like grasping for straws because I know what I'm capable of. And I'm not a bad swimmer, but I'm not a great swimmer. I would have to be surfing down there. You would have found me in the swamps the end of the night. It was horrible. It was the horriblest thing. All that we've gone through, I never had the feeling in the pit of my stomach that I couldn't help.
He feels survivor's guilt. His wife, Gail, in the weeks after the storm, would find herself outside her house just sitting there crying.
I would just lash out and, you know, I was like a wreck and I was more like ranting and carrying on and I was mad at everything and everybody. I'm doing much better. I don't cry every day anymore and I'm laughing a little bit more, so I'm grateful for that. I do group. I do one-on-one. I'm on medication.
These people, and you talk to so many out there in that particular community, all understand that they've gone through something that will and has changed them forever.
Yeah. Gail is, you can hear the arc of her year there. She started out lashing out. She got some help, and now she's doing a little better, slowly. And this is typical. There are so many people who are still feeling the effects of Sandy. As a matter of fact, there was a Gallup survey last January that showed a 25% increase in depression diagnoses, clinical diagnoses of depression in people who lived in zip codes affected by Sandy. That's an extraordinary increase.
That 25% increase, according to the study, represents about 540,000 adults, and it doesn't even take into account kids or milder mental health effects. We've gotten callers and texters who actually say, I'm only realizing now the effects that Sandy has had on me.
That's Christian Burgess from the Mental Health Association of New York.
Yes.
Now, he experienced the storm. You experienced the storm, right?
Right.
I experienced the storm.
Yeah.
What was it like for you going back to that neighborhood? Storm scared me, still scares me. I've covered hurricanes before. Mm. Did you have feelings experiencing the memories of these folks, even in yourself?
I have. That's a great question. I have felt a little more hopeful each time I go out there, because when I first went out there, there was giant piles of debris everywhere. People were clearly shocked. But month after month, they've gotten things somewhat together. Some people have even started repairing their homes. But you do hear this simmering under the surface.
So in this case, a reporting assignment was really a form of therapy for you.
It was. I felt lucky that these people entrusted their stories to me. And every month I would go to visit, say, Stephen Dromalis, and I would see his front steps were there. They were back instead of cinder blocks. I would see he had paint on his walls. I would see his bathroom wasn't a mess. And slowly his mental state was better.
In the case of Diane Norris, well, you can listen. She's one tough woman.
It's almost a year, and I miss her like the same day it happened. I cry almost every day. I haven't gone to see anybody about it yet. I miss her like crazy. My heart is still broken.
A woman who lost her mother a year ago.
Yeah.
Where is she now?
She's about an hour north of New York City in Goshen, New York, living with her niece. You know what? She really misses the old block, the old house, her neighbors, but she doesn't know if she'll ever be back.
And the storm lives with her.
Yeah.
And it lives with all the people that you talk with. Jim O'Grady, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
WNYC reporter Jim O'Grady reporting on the trauma that Sandy left behind here in the region. We'll have more coverage on the one-year anniversary of Sandy next week, looking at how the community of the Rockaways in Queens is recovering today.
I saw the water running down the driveway. It started to come under the door, and I remember Claire going, oh my God, the water's coming under the door.
And I wrap up in the blanket like this, and all I'm saying, Lord, save me. Save me, Lord, don't let the house go.
So when I looked through this window, I saw the water like we're in the middle of the ocean. The whole place was surrounding like that. And I hear the water knocking on the door and banging and people screaming and crying out, help me and all that.
It's not just, oh, this is a house or something that I own. It's also become a part of our identity.
I know why I'm here. I have salt running in my blood.
If we can unite the community around this, saying, like, we get it, like, you need more money, but, you know, you can't decimate a neighborhood because people can't afford flood insurance. We need the voices to be together.
And later in the week, we'll talk with Science Friday's Ira Flato on the science of climate change and what Sandy has taught us about how to better prepare for severe weather. All that and much more on The Takeaway. If you want to catch up on that conversation or listen back to anything on the program, check us out at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.